The Lord with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for the gift of this day. We are grateful for its many blessings, and we seek your grace and comfort to meet its challenges. We ask that you be with each member of this parish. Give us wisdom and faith to do the work you have called us to do, and to build up your kingdom and give it glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Let me tell you a little bit about what we're doing, and I'm going to be following the outline here. I'm also having to admit people to the waiting from the waiting room as we go, so I might have to bug out a little bit for just a moment.
I can do that, Cleve. Don't worry about it.
Can you, Julie? Okay.
Yep.
Do I need to make you co-host, or are you already?
No, I can do it.
Okay. If you would do that, that would be great. Thank you. Thank you for being with us. First of all, we're going to go ahead and get started. We know there's been a lot of interest in the contents and process of the strategic plan, and that we all share a sense of the importance of life in the church and how we can begin to chart the future together. So after Ray's opening plan, I want to have let you know that we're going to have several presentations and speakers today. We'll try to hold our remarks to 5 minutes just as an introduction, because we want to have most of this time today be your questions and answers. So after the brief presentation, which will total about 20 minutes, we hope we'll open that up. And everybody's mic should be muted right now so that we can progress through the first part. The names that you see on the right of your screen were all part of the team that was commissioned by the vestry last year as a committee, actually technically a subcommittee, to develop a strategic plan. And we used as our facilitator the Reverend Jim Hanissian, who will be speaking to the church, doing the sermon next week on the 18th. And he's worked with a number of congregations as a priest and now a consultant. I know Jim from my days in Ohio when he was canon to the ordinary of the Bishop of Southern Ohio. And fortunately for us, he retired to Southport, so we were able to meet with him in person, at least until COVID-19 arrived, and then we met via Zoom. So let me go to our next slide. Here is the structure for this hour. My charge is to give you an overview of the whole process and the recommendations that we sent to the vestry, and then we'll hear from three members of our subcommittee who will talk about the three major elements of this. And then we will conclude with a prayer from Adam, Reverend Adam. So at the beginning of our subcommittee's work, we knew that the strategic planning process has to be guided by the context of church life. And so we drafted, with vestry approval, the following mission statement of what the church is: open doors, open hearts, open hands. And moving from that, a vision statement of what the church will do. We will welcome all to live in God's mission, teach Christ's love, and transform our community by the power of the Holy Spirit. And in the spirit of Anglicanism, I added an Oxford comma after Christ's love. And then the steps in the process, it doesn't show up on the screen, but you may have heard me say it. Here is the process. We were a diverse group involved in many different aspects of the life of the parish, and we all probably arrived with some idea of what we wanted to see as the future of St. Paul's. What we found was that sharing these ideas led, we hope, through prayerful discernment, guided by the Holy Spirit, into some changes of focus from what we had in mind when we first started. It was one of the most interesting committees I've ever been on, and under Jim's firm but welcoming hand, we presented ideas, discovered new ones, discussed them, voted on them, and then we came to closure. For example, I was somewhat surprised that the final recommendations did not refer to any of the church's current programs. And by that, I mean things that, not only things that I'm personally involved in, like our wonderful liturgy and music, Christian formation, and the like. Others we know are heavily involved in outreach and hospitality and service projects of all kinds in our community, you know, Nourish NC and many more things. But since there were 12 of us, Jim first had us list the major priorities we had about St. Paul's, current and future prospects, and there were a lot of those that we talked about. After a long process of winnowing, we came up with 6 areas that we were assigned to research using teams of 2 people each. We were charged with doing a SWOT analysis. That stands for strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. And we presented it to the whole group for the next statement. So next, what we were charged with as an objective was to present a plan that would guide the focus and activities of the church over the next 3 years. And because of COVID-19, as I mentioned, the work was begun in the fall of last year, almost a year ago, maybe even more than a year ago. But the final report was delayed until April of this year when we presented it to the vestry. Next, we worked on establishing goals for each of the components of things that we were going to try to present as goals for the next 3 years. The goals are critical for tracking our process for those years and to find out whether we actually achieved what we said that we would want to do. So then we developed some strategies. For example, what should the church work on? What is the focus of our time? And these are questions about strategy. That's not overall strategy, but just what do we do next? What are the things that have to happen? So after we had finished our presentation within the group, presentations, I should say, in the group, next we talked about consolidation and how to make sense of all of this. And based on Jim's expertise, we concluded that 3 major areas were the right number. If we had come up with any more things than that, we would have diluted the process. You can't have everything as a priority. If you're going to set priorities, you have to decide what's most important. We submitted the work to the vestry in April, and as Jim often reminded us, the vestry was free to accept our recommendations, to amend them, or to reject them altogether. And after deliberation, vestry voted unanimously to approve the report and the recommendation. So let's kind of put everything together a little bit and move toward our recommendations. St. Paul's Church, and this is going back to what I was talking about, the overall objective was based on votes in the committee for the 3 key areas I mentioned. And those program concerns that I mentioned were by no means absent, but our collective decision was one that did not tell the church on what it should be doing in programs for the next few years, but to assure it of the resources to move ahead no matter what the church decides to do and what those priorities for them might be. So our objective was to come up with statements of focus for the next 3 years, and these were the 3 that we settled on. We voted on these priorities, and we collectively concluded that what the church needs most are these: facilities infrastructure, financial sustainability, and people. Those are the things that will make us able to move forward whatever direction we should choose to go in terms of our program. These ones that I mentioned were by no means absent. As I said, they're always there in the back of our mind, but our collective decision was one that didn't tell the church how to run things, but to help assure it of the resources to move ahead, no matter what those priorities would be. So with this, I'm going to fade into the background. I'll return in our question and answer. We have 3 people coming up. Each of them has been asked to speak just on 5 minutes on their particular topic. And we're going to start with, if Bill Anlian is here, he's the one who's going to talk about facilities. Bill, are you here? Bill, if you are here, please unmute yourself. Well, if not, would somebody else on that subcommittee like to talk about this? I warn you folks, if you don't speak up, you're going to hear me for another 5 minutes, and you may be ready to scream at that point. Okay, well, you can see them displayed on the screen up here.
I can help out.
Okay, Julie.
I was part of that.
Okay, if you would just walk people through this.
I was taking notes and doing other things while you were doing the intro, so forgive me if I repeat anything that Cleve said. So We visited two churches, one in Durham and one in Southport, to talk to them about their historic buildings and how they have preserved and enhanced them for use today. And we talked to people in our church. We talked to clergy. We talked to vestry. And we went through this process of gathering data, information about St. Paul's. And then we did the SWOT analysis, where we developed the strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats to us. And one of the opportunities that we identified is our wonderful building, with its history. It's the, when we go into the, go into worship, it's a wonderful thin space, and that's a definite strength. It's beauty. That's, I think of the beauty of holiness when I think of that building. But then there's also a threat there to future storms, to the decay of time, and to health and safety to some extent. So we worked from that and developed a rough plan that we proposed to the vestry in terms of the opportunities for the building over 3 years, what would need to be done. So first of all, for this year, call 5 to 8 people on a building committee, and that group has been hard at work ever since we the vestry approved the plan. That group's mission is to develop a plan this year. So this year it's planning and more discernment. And then next year, call 20 people to a capital campaign to help fund the improvements, enhancements, and repairs to the building. Write a case for the fundraising, and then identify 10 major gifts. So that is the rough plan that we proposed to the vestry and that they adopted.
Thanks very much, Julie. I might add to this. I was really struck when we were hearing the report from that subcommittee. First of all, they distinguished between the church itself. Nobody feels like the church is in need of major renovation, and we love the physical space and we love the opportunities for worship in the church. But the parish hall is a very different matter.
Parish house
is a very different matter. We are seriously deficient, the subcommittee felt, in a number of areas. Everybody knows how difficult it is for people with disabilities to actively participate in everything. Just getting up to the parish hall, for example, is a real challenge for people who have mobility issues. Even more so are things like the ADA and fire. It's a particular concern because we have offices and classroom spaces and nursery spaces in areas where there's only one entrance and exit to that space, and there's a lot of wood. If there ever were to be a fire there, people could not get out of those rooms, and we'd be looking at a real catastrophe. Something has to be done about that. It may be a matter of remodeling the existing building. It may be a matter of taking it down. And again, I'm not talking about the church, but taking it down and starting from scratch. That'll be up to the committee and its recommendations. But we were thoroughly impressed with the seriousness of and the need for this as a result of the presentation of that group. Let's go on to the next one. And this is financial stewardship. I did see Ann Odell. And Ann, if you're ready to go ahead and unmute yourself and tell us about this aspect of it.
Okay, ready to go. First, I want to acknowledge the others who worked on this committee with me. That would be Shannon Rowe, Pat Shearer, and Cleve. To arrive at our recommendation, we researched best practices, and then we measured St. Paul's performance against those standards. We concluded that St. Paul's needs to implement a comprehensive plan to balance the budget by establishing intentional programs for annual giving, planned giving, and capital improvements. This plan should be aspirational, one that stretches the parish. The three components of the plan need to be coordinated, creating a synergy that allows St. Paul's to fully support the operating budget, replenish and build the endowment, and fund capital improvements. The plan also needs to be intentional, which implies an active and significant commitment to the plan, its execution, and the outcome. Financial stewardship cannot be treated as a passive undertaking. While many of us may believe that St. Paul's mission is worth supporting, it doesn't stand on its own. Yes, faith-based individuals are predisposed to giving, but they need an invitation, they need a reason, and they need the assurances that their gifts are being used through St. Paul's to support the work that God is calling them to do. So quickly, the goals. For annual giving, we're recommending a total annual giving increase of 20% per year over the next 3 years. Aspirational, yes, but a well-crafted and a well-executed plan that capitalizes on our strengths and addresses our weaknesses should make these numbers possible. In terms of plan giving, we think we need to initiate an ongoing plan giving program. The recommended strategy over the next several years is to focus on charitable bequests so we don't compete for major gifts needed for a capital campaign. It's important for St. Paul's future to replenish and build the endowment, and we can do that right now by inviting parishioners to make gifts through their wills or through beneficiary designations from IRAs, life insurance policies, or other payable on death accounts. Three is the capital campaign, as was previously discussed. Our facilities need attention, and to finance those improvements, we need a capital campaign. So I want to give you a Cliff Notes version of our analysis process here. We identified four major strengths. The finance team has made really good strides to standardize and strengthen financial systems in the church. Good data drives informed decisions and allows for proper planning and oversight. Number two, St. Paul's continues to provide meaningful ways for parishioners to engage and grow in their faith. Actively involved parishioners are more likely to become regular and consistent supporters of the church's mission and strategies. Three, pre-COVID membership and attendance consistently posted solid gains. Post-COVID, we're hoping that we can continue these trends and capitalize on the predicted population growth in the area. And four, the annual campaigns over the past couple of years have emphasized that stewardship is about discipleship. As followers of Christ, what is God calling us to do? This is an important and a much needed shift away from a more traditional pledge to the budget approach. Now, I want to turn to weaknesses, and there's only one that I'm going to focus on today because it's the most obvious and the most threatening to the growth and viability of St. Paul's. The annual stewardship campaign has consistently failed to raise sufficient funds to cover operating expenses. The reliance on special gifts, or worst-case scenario, the endowment, to address budget shortfalls is unsustainable. We all know that difficult and painful decisions will have to be made if we can't fix this problem. So where do we see the opportunities? As I mentioned earlier, financial systems and procedures have been put in place to ensure proper planning and oversight. but the work of the finance team has largely been kept in the dark. Parishioners are not being adequately informed, which at best means they have a limited understanding of the church's financial health, but at worst, they've created their own narratives that bear little resemblance to the truth. As a church, we can't be afraid to talk about money. We need consistent, clear, and honest communication. It breeds trust, and it breeds a commitment of time, talent, and treasures. Now, in addition to proving communications, we also see an opportunity to build a congregation of generous, faith-filled givers. At the heart of Christianity is the belief that God created everything, and everything ultimately belongs to God. As human beings, we are called to be stewards of those gifts that God has given us. So stewardship is not code for fundraising. It is meant to be a way of life. Over the past several years, the stewardship message has moved this parish forward with its invitation to be open to Christ's call to active, engaged discipleship. For many, the struggle of living that message is often the most difficult when it comes to their finances. As Martin Luther said, there are three conversions necessary: the conversion of the heart, the conversion of the mind, and the conversion of the purse. Now, to complete that conversion of the purse, we need to recognize financial stewardship as a valuable faith-building ministry. By doing so, we acknowledge that developing generous, faith-filled givers is an ongoing, year-round educational process. It's not something that can be accomplished in a single month-long campaign in October or November. Faith-filled giving is not transactional. It's inspired by our love for God. We know that when we invite people to grow in their faith, we need to meet them where they are. The same applies when we invite people to give generously in response to God's call. What's appropriate for a spiritually mature member who is a consistent giver will likely not work for a newer or relatively inactive member who's never given. This donor-focused approach requires more work, but it also can't occur in a vacuum. Creating a culture of generosity in our church depends on the active engagement and support of all ministries across the church. Are we as a community living into God's vision for St. Paul's? Because it takes a village to raise generous, faith-filled givers. The work of the strategic team might be done, but the work of securing St. Paul's future is just beginning. All of us have been called to this sacred place to do God's work. Let us make sure that our work can and will continue. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Anne. We appreciate that. That's a very thorough discussion, and we will have Q&A for that coming up in just a little bit. We have one more of the three pillars that we want to talk about, and I'll ask, is Ashley East here today? Ashley, are you here? If you are, please unmute yourself. Okay. Is there someone else from that human resources team that would like to speak to this?
I was on that team, but let me just see if Ashley's on the call. Twink, could you speak? Twink was on our team as well. Let me unmute Twink. Oops. Hold on. Twink, could you unmute yourself and speak to this?
Thank you.
Well, I think we need to go to the Q&A, so let me just point out, if you can see this on your screen, that this was the third. We felt that none of what we were talking about was achievable unless we had the right people in the right places. And yes, we're talking about staff, but we're also talking about volunteers as well. Committee heads and members of the vestry and people who are worker bees with those committees. And so the prospect was, or the proposals were, that in 2020, first of all, work to develop the right staff model, and teams of three would conduct staff interviews. I'm going to have to leave it to another member of this group to talk about the percentage and what is meant by that. That I'm not clear on that myself.
What we were thinking is that this year the team would develop a survey to conduct interviews, and 25% of the parish would have been surveyed about their skills that they could offer to ministry.
Okay.
And looking at, in terms of personnel, not just looking at paid staff, but also looking at volunteers as the whole human resources available for us to meet our mission. So this year, the team of three would conduct the staff interviews, the paid staff interviews, and then we would develop job descriptions for paid staff and volunteers. And then next year, half of the parish skills would have been determined, a satisfaction survey of the parish on how the ministries are doing, and then all the positions, paid and unpaid, would be filled. And then the next year, just ramp that up to, by that point, 75% of the parish, then assess and plan, and then perform another parish satisfaction survey.
Thank you, Julie. I think we're ready now. Go ahead and open things up and take your questions and comments.
Okay. Since I'm going to be doing the writing down the frequently asked questions, if someone else who worked with me on facilities and human resources could help answer questions, it would be very helpful.
All right. Thanks very much, Julie.
Yes. Okay. And I've sent Bill Anlian a text to come join our meeting.
Okay, good. Well, let's go ahead. Let me go to our next slide. This is just the names of people who are on the team, and including the members of our subcommittee. And now that it's been turned over to the vestry, actually, as Jim Hanisian reminded us, the work of our subcommittee actually ended in April when we presented the plan to the vestry. And the vestry formed four person teams. Each four person group was to look at one of these and to come up with this and spend the next period of time, whatever that time might be, examining this and working on it from the standpoint of vestry. So I think we really are ready for a question and answer now. And I'm going to tell you, since we have so many people on here, this is great. We have 33 people. I don't believe it's going to work for us all to start waving our hands to be called on. We're going to miss somebody, and we're going to get people out of sequence to do this. So I'm going to tell you how we would like for you to do this. First of all, at the bottom of your screen, you should see a little icon that says participants. It's like somebody looking over somebody else's shoulder. If you would click on that so that you see the screen, you'll be able to see the names of all the people who are here. And the important thing I want you to notice is down at the bottom of that, you will see a little blue hand raised like that, and it says raise hand. If you will click that, a little blue hand will pop up, and we'll be able to see who is here and who is asking the question. I'd like to ask everybody to just do that now as a test. Just raise your hand and then lower your hand. Okay, good. I'm seeing several hands go up. Okay, I see a lot of folks who have raised their blue hand. And so if you're not planning to ask a question, you could lower your hand. Otherwise, we'll get started. And if you do have a question for us, then put it up. I'm seeing here Eileen Searle, followed by Lyle. Eileen, would you go ahead with your question, please? We'll need to unmute Eileen. Eileen, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm here. My major question is my financial responsibility and what I can do and what I can't do. And I think there are many people within the parish that have those same concerns. This year, I went out of my way to really make sure I put in the correct numbers for my giving. And I realized I double gave. And I think that was a wonderful thing for me to do. And I plan to do that same thing this year. And I hope people really look deep down, because I never really miss the money. And deep down, you really can do some extraordinary things when you really look deep down into yourself and what you can and you can't do.
Thank you, Eileen. I would welcome anyone, whether you have a comment or not, or if you're a vestry member who wants to talk on one of these topics or one of our committee or whatever. I see several people who have unmuted themselves, but I'd like you to click on the raise hand, so I'm sure that you really want to ask a question or make a comment. So please, now is your opportunity.
Please, excuse me, I'm just going to jump in and request that you take off the question and answer share screen so that we could see everybody. Thank you. Or whomever is controlling that. Perfect.
All right. Folks, now's your chance. Click on the little blue raise hand.
I can only see one person. Joan, are you?
Okay. The point now is whether you can see people or not. I can't see everybody on one screen. Okay, but this, if you want to ask a question or make a comment, please go to the participants screen, open it up, and then click on raise hand.
But Joan, can you tell me how I can see the people?
You have to. You may have it clicked on speaker view, which means that you're only seeing the picture of the person who's speaking. If you put on gallery, which is like a little box with little boxes within it. Click on gallery, that should put everybody up.
Thank you.
Sorry for the interruption.
No, that's okay. It doesn't put everybody up on my screen. I'm only seeing probably three quarters of the people because we have so many people with us here. Okay, Don Brainerd. Don has a question. Don, you're unmuted, so go right ahead.
In the parish hall, we know about the ADA and that kind of stuff. What other structural...
All right, let me ask you to... I'm going to mute everybody again, and then Don can unmute himself. We really don't need to have these side conversations, so I'm going to mute everyone. Like that. Don, please unmute yourself and go ahead with your question.
Regarding the parish hall, I mean, we know of our ADA problems and that kind of stuff, but what other serious structural problems for the stability and longevity of the building itself exist?
Okay, anybody who would like to address that question, please unmute yourself. Is there anybody on one of the committees? I believe Bill Anlian may be with us. We admitted Bill not too long ago. There he is. Yeah, Bill, go ahead, please.
I was moving from one room to the other. Don, would you just quickly restate that question again, just so I make sure?
Besides ADA compliance and the fire hazard and stuff like that, what, if any, major structural flaws does the parish house contain that would have to be addressed?
Yeah. Is Bob Balestighi on this call as well?
No,
he's not.
I don't see his name, Bill.
Okay. When we took a look at, the major problems, Don, are the ADA and the fire. if we take a look at space utilization ratios and the amount of space that the church has versus the amount of space that the church can use without, you know, concerns on ADA, the question came up in our discussions whether or not going forward this facility could continue to support a growing parish. But, you know, and then, of course, there were questions after the hurricane and the water that swept through the gymnasium. Do we have some other structural problems? I'm not prepared to answer that question, but Bob Bellastighi, I think, certainly could. But that, you know, with the gymnasium and the problems we had down there. So that's the extent of my knowledge at this point.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Don, for your question. Spencer and Ellen are next. Go right ahead. You're unmuted.
Well, I'm just getting back to Don's question about the structural integrity of the parish house building. About 2 years ago to was November of 2018, the vestry had a complete engineering analysis done of both buildings. And while there were certainly lots of problems that we're all hearing about and that are very real, on the other hand, we were told by the engineer that this 95-year-old building actually is in relatively sound shape. In other words, it's very unlikely it's just going to implode and collapse in on itself.
Thank you, Spencer. Marie Ashworth is next. And a reminder that if you have a question or comment, go to the participants window, click on the raise hand button, as Marie just did. Marie, thank you for doing that, and go right ahead.
My question is, are we anywhere in doing two things? One, an actual plan that the congregation could see to renovate the parish hall, or a plan to tear it down and rebuild? Is any of that in the works?
I see David Tusig not shaking his head. My understanding is that there is a committee that will be working on that. Is there a vestry member who'd like to comment on that?
Well, I can comment on it if there's no one else.
This yeah, go ahead, Ruth.
Right now, we are working on a request for project, RFP, that will be sent to various architects, and it's got including something about St. Paul's and what the scope we're looking at, which would include fixing some of the problems, renovating it, could mean tearing it down and starting over. So what we're going to do is we're about to finish that document, which Mona's been working on. And if she's online, she could do a better job than I could about talking about that. Do you want to talk about that, Mona?
Sure. Yeah, I'm on my phone because my computer's not working. So, yeah, I've joined the facilities team, and it's a request for proposal is what we've drafted. And we're actually going to be speaking about it at next week's meeting in a little bit more detail, but just very briefly, what our task is to vet architect engineer firms that we would then give names to the vestry, and they would determine who they would end up hiring. And then actually what the scope of work would include. But the scope of work is to evaluate the building, the buildings, and get input from people, and then determine what some cost estimates would be. So that's a very brief talk about it, not to take up too much time. But we will have a lot more in-depth conversation next week as a facilities report.
I want to thank you. Yes, I'll remind people, I don't have the slide up any longer, but a week from today, the entire conversation will be about facilities. So if you didn't get your question answered today, and we have about 15 more minutes before we have to go, if you don't get your question answered today, please come back next week and ask that question. And then 2 weeks from today will be a discussion of financial stewardship. And any question you might have about capital campaigns or the annual campaign or planned giving or whatever will be on the agenda for that day. And then 3 weeks from today, on November 1st, we'll deal with the final of those three, personnel, and the vestry committee and the subcommittee that worked on it will try to answer all questions. So please don't let today be the only time that you interact with this group. We want you to come back next week and for the following 2 weeks as well to continue this conversation. Marie, thank you. Yes?
Can I just say real quick that nothing will be done without input from the congregation.
Okay.
So nothing will just be presented to the congregation. The congregation will have the opportunity to input for whatever we decide to do.
Okay, Ruth, thank you. Marie, thank you for your question. And I see that Father Ray is next, followed by Mary Ann Wright. Ray, go ahead, please.
Thanks. I just wanted to say a little bit about what the Facilities Committee is doing. Basically, they are going to look at the ADA compliance issues, the fire hazard issues, the efficiency of the use of space together with an architect. And then that architect will come back with some possibilities about what might be done to address those problems. We have no idea what the architect is really going to say, but we're going to give him the things that we want the parish hall to be able to do. And then when we get the report, there, we expect that the architect will be able to say, yes, we can reconfigure the building to take care of the compliance issues and to get better efficiency of the space, or that the expense of doing those things would be just astronomical. And if that were the case, then there is there would be the possibility of maybe moving somewhere else or doing some other alternative. So that's what the facilities part of the vestry is working on.
Thank you, Ray. May I ask, has the architect been chosen yet, or is that still in process?
No, the architect has not been chosen.
That's the RFP part of it.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Okay, very good. Thank you for that clarification. We appreciate it. And next is Mary Ann. Mary Ann, please unmute yourself, and followed by David Tusignant. Mary Ann, you're still muted. There you go. Go right ahead.
Thank you, Cleve. I have a question about how members of the parish can offer their skills to be on any of these committees.
Is there somebody who would like to answer that question? Don't be shy, folks. If you're on one of these committees, Joan, go ahead.
Yes. Well, first of all, if anyone hearing these presentations feels that they have talents and gifts that they could be offered to the committee, don't hesitate to come forward and offer services. Second to that is I and three other members of the vestry who are handling the human resources issue. One of the components of our work is to do a spiritual gifts assessment of each and every member of the parish to determine what are your special gifts, what are the things that make you tick, what is God calling you with the talents that he has given you, and how we can pair those talents with various ministries and needs within our church family.
Thanks very much, Joan. And Mary Ann, thank you for your question. David Tusignant is next. David, right ahead.
Good morning, everyone. A couple of things. I think we all realize that if we wanted to build a parish house, we wouldn't have built this one today. and so we have to live with what we have and for all the options. And those will be followed, I'm sure. I'm not deeply involved in that. And I really thought Bob Balestighi was going to be on this this morning, but he's not. So I'll just say one thing. We need to be careful about what is required by law we must do. And I mean ADA, American Disabilities Act, and Title III, which governs our the way we operate, and what we would like to do from just some common sense standpoint. And there's a lot of complexity here, and there are options. They may not be ones we want to select. So I just want to keep that in mind. And we also, in all of this, there's got to be some aspect of sensitivity towards how much some of this is going to cost. And I think Father Ray pointed out the fact that some of these options we may develop will be totally out of our financial capability. I've been involved in this building complex for quite a while now, and I know all the warts. I thought it was interesting that Spencer did make the comment that, surprisingly, almost after 100 years, she could be in a lot worse shape than she is. And so we're working on trying to do the simple, inexpensive fixes, but we need to look at some more serious and long-term solutions. Thank you.
Thank you, David. I don't see any other hands raised, except here's Jenny Callison. Jenny?
I have a comment and a question. And my first comment, going to the third of the priorities, which is shown here as personnel, we had a conversation in the search committee about the term personnel as opposed to the term human resources, or I would even sound a little socialist and say human capital. To some of us, the term personnel seems to suggest paid staff. And I think that what the committee meant, the subcommittee meant, was what human resources do we have in our parish? And Joan was talking about identifying the gifts of members, as well as the things that we can codify with job descriptions. So I would encourage us to think about what term we use that seems to include everyone as a potential contributor through their gifts.
I think I can address that a little bit, because I think I made an error of omission in that final slide by calling it personnel. I believe that it was the decision of the subcommittee of the vestry to use the term human resources as a more accurate term. Am I right? Marianne is agreeing with me on that.
Yes, that is correct. Human resources is the term that we have adopted for the very reasons that you explained earlier. That personnel implies salaried, and when we're looking at human resources, we're looking well beyond just the paid staff, but everyone who is part of our church.
Okay, and then my question is, Father Ray, in your remarks last Sunday, I believe you said something about we will not be taking money out of the endowment in, I believe, 2021. And I just wondered what that, why that is. I mean, I'm not objecting. I'm just saying why.
Well, there is not money available from the endowment is the reason we're not taking any out.
Oh, okay.
Anne, do you want to say anything? You're on the endowment board. David is as well. They may want to address the issue.
Well, I've raised my hand and I'm taking the initiative here.
Okay.
The endowment is for three things. One is for the expansion of new ministries. One is for capital. And one was for extraordinary causes such as hurricanes or whatever else. We are dangerously close to a value in that fund that would drop below the baseline that we have all sought so hard to maintain. So the fact that we're going to try to grow this fund over the next 3 years, I think, is wonderful. And but as Father Ray says, we just don't have the money to take on some of these, because, and they don't fit the objectives that are spelled out on our Bibles. Thank you.
Okay. Anne, do you have anything to add to that?
No, I'll defer to the Chief Endowment Officer, David.
Okay. CEO, huh?
Okay. Adam Pierce is next. Adam, please unmute and go right ahead.
Thanks. Just want to speak to one thing, maybe two, that was said earlier. In terms of complexity of issues and law governing the church versus other institutions, it may be the fact that because we're a church, we are not required by law to have certain ADA protocols in place or to adhere to those. The question, though, because we are a church and what we say we are as a church, this idea that we welcome all people, all of God's children, and that we make space for all of God's children, I think that's the underlying initiative that we reflect on and make these decisions by. Not necessarily what's permitted by law and what's not and what we can get away with. The question becomes, how are we making space for all of God's children in this place? And that's really the underlying issue. In terms of money, it's great. The endowment aside, we certainly don't want to rely on the endowment to fund these projects. We believe that the money is here to do these things that we want to do. And certainly we're not going to be reckless with how we address costs or anything like that. But we believe that the money is here, that God has given us the resources, and that those resources and gifts are all around us. And moving from a vision of a world that sees less and little and trying to save a buck to a world of God's abundance is where this whole project is calling us to move towards. So that's going to be hard, that because we haven't thought like that in a long time. We haven't thought like that maybe ever. But that's what we're being asked to consider and being pushed towards as we think about our future here at St. Paul's. So thanks.
Okay, he did raise his hand, but I have a note from Bill Anlian. Bill, would you like to make a comment? If so, raise your hand, please. Or rather, unmute. I think you're already unmuted, so go ahead.
Yeah, and first, I'm on my phone, and this is the only way I could raise my hand, so sorry about that.
Okay, all right.
I'd like to comment just to follow up on what David has said and Adam. And I think, in our discussions early on in the strategic plan, and I hope it hasn't gotten lost, but I think as a church, and Adam, I think, is suggesting this, we need to really decide what we are as a church. One of my concerns is, and it's probably personal, because as I grow older, there are issues that I'm going to be facing. And I think one of the things that I think as a church we need to look at is, and let's take, how do we serve our older parishioners? You know, if you are fine as long as you've got mobility, as long as you can drive. But sadly, we've had a history that when you can no longer drive, you no longer come to St. Paul's, unless, you know, you have the largesse of somebody picking you up and bringing you to church. I mean, we've looked at church vans, and we discussed that, and for many reasons, we decided not to do it. But I would hate to see us get the cart too far in front of the horse, especially when we're looking at spending a lot of money either to rehab a building that's in the heart of the historic district, which is going to add tremendously to the cost, or if we were to look at building a new facility, which is going to be equally very expensive. So I would like to see the church really sharpen its focus and say, what are the programs that we really need to make sure are the hallmarks of St. Paul's? It's, you know, music, serving our congregation and the demographics of that group, and say, okay, what can we do to adapt this building so that we can really truly serve the needs of the parishioners? So I'd hate to see us lose and get too far ahead of that discussion.
Thanks very much, Bill. We have only about 3 minutes left. And I'll just remind people, excuse me, one more time that we will take up each one of these topics in depth over the next 3 weeks. So next week, we'll talk more about facilities. The week after that, it's more about fundraising and stewardship. And the week after that, it's more about human resources. David Tusignan has his hand up again. David, please unmute and go ahead.
I didn't want to come across as the Scrooge of St. Paul's. I agree with Bill and with Adam in the fact that whether we're required to do this or not, we need to evaluate the impact on our parish. My first year as junior warden, I'm the one that installed the chairlift from what we now call the main entrance. So you could get from the level of the nave to the floor level of the parish house. So I certainly recognize that early on. We seem to be a parish that is developing a retired congregation, and that certainly is something we need to look forward to. Bill, I'm a couple years older than you. I want to get up and down those stairs too. So don't take me for being negative about this. There are obviously problems, and the problems need to be evaluated and alternatives developed. Thank you.
Thanks very much, David. Marie, did you have a comment?
I don't know if everybody else was having the same problem. Maybe it was just my computer, but no matter who was talking, you all were cutting in and out. So you would be talking along, and all of a sudden your lips would be moving, but no sound would be coming over. So I don't know if anybody else was having that problem. So we kind of got two-thirds of what you were saying, but maybe not all of it.
Marie, I hate to tell you, but the problem probably is your computer.
Okay.
What I have found with Zoom is that you really have to limit the number of applications you have open at any one time. If I have, a PowerPoint open and a web browser open and an Excel file open, it's very difficult to do Zoom. I have to close all those other things out, so that only the Zoom, as much as possible, is open. So,
as far as I know, I don't have anything else open, but I'll have my son check on that.
Okay. All right. Very good. Thank you. Thank you, Marie. And then I think we have about a minute to go, and so I'll turn it over to Adam Pierce.
Yeah, thanks, Cleve. One thing, David, I certainly did not mean to imply that you are a Scrooge. I do not think that you are the Scrooge of St. Paul's, or anybody is the Scrooge of St. Paul's. It's just, and all these ideas and reflections just reflect how much we all care about this place and want to see it succeed and grow. And we're going to have different ideas about that. I respond to that, to the narrative where we save money first before looking at all the options, because we are being asked to think about considerable expense. There's no denying that. But it's how we address that. If we start from a place of we already don't have money, then it's going to be very hard to address. So we are being asked to consider the abundance around us and the resources we have. So that's all I'm saying. But not to suggest that you're a Scrooge or that anyone is. So grateful for all that you've done and continue to do for this place. The last thing I want to say before the prayer is we had 41 people last week, and I think about 36 this week. We know that these conversations are of interest to members of the congregation, so I'm inviting each of you to call 5 people this week and invite them to join this conversation. Just think of 5 people that you may all think of the same 5 people, so those 5 people will get many phone calls, but... Just think of 5 people to invite to participate or to just listen into these conversations, because this is the future of our congregation, and we just want to make sure all questions are answered and people have a chance to hear what it is that we are doing. So with that, I will just say thanks to all the presenters, and we'll close us out with prayer. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for all those that make up St. Paul's, and for all the gifts present in this place. We give you thanks for the abundance of options before us. There are many options, and for that we give thanks. If there were few options, then we would indeed be living among scarcity, but there are many options before us, and that in itself reflects your abundance among us. open our eyes to continually see that abundance and to trust in you as we move forward as a congregation, as we move forward in living out our faith in this world. All this I pray through your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.